Good evening, brothers and sisters. I'm very happy, very joyful to be able to be standing here again. Please open in your copy of the Word of God to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we're going to be reading from verse 1 to 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 to 8. Let's read the Word of God. For you yourself know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain, but that we have already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi. As you know, we have boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of such a much conflict. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please men, but to please God who tests our heart. For we never came with word of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, thought we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own self, because you have become very dear to us. This is the word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, even when we are stumbled, even when the enemy strike us, we are not afraid. We show boldness and we stand firm because of you, Lord. Heart be courageous to be able to preach the gospel, to reach out to people with no fear, but with love and compassion. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So a little background regarding to the book of Thessalonians. The book of 1 Thessalonians can be simplified in the theme of encouragement and hope to the church of Thessalonians. We see that Paul talked very highly about the Thessalonians. He talked about their faith. He talked about the good report that he received from Timothy, how he's pleased with how they have been growing. He encouraged them to continue forward, to growing spiritually, how they have shown love and compassion, imitating both the apostles and Christ, how despite all the tribulation and conflicts that they have been, the church of Thessalonians have shown respond with fruitfulness and possibly with love. So we can say that the book of 1 Thessalonians is full of hope, words of encouragement, words to tell the church to continue forward walking how they are and not to be discouraged despite all the tribulations and problems that are happening around the world or in other places. For today's Thessalonians, reading through the scriptures, we know that Thessalonians wasn't a very easy place to preach the gospel. Actually, we know, we have record that the city of Thessalonians is a key point for the Roman Empire, and it was very busy city, and it was very prone to idols worshiping. Actually, we see right from the beginning in chapter 1, verse 9, that Paul mentioned a little bit this about the people of Thessalonians. He encouraged the people of Thessalonians because they have left away the practices of idolatry. So the city of Thessalonians were a city that was not very easy to preach. There were for sure some difficulties, but we see from this first letter that Paul is very joyful, very pleased with the result of how the church of Thessalonians have grown. They have openly accepted the gospel. With this in mind, I want today, in today's preaching, I want to see three points regarding to how do we should imitate and feel encouraged from Paul and the Church of Thessalonians. These three points being, point number one, even in time of hardship, speak the gospel with boldness because of God. Point number two, share the gospel, not to please men, but for the glory of God. And point number three, love the church with kindness and affection. So let's see point number one. Even in times of hardship, speak the gospel with boldness because of God. Shamefully threatened at Philippi, Paul wrote in verse number two. If we go back to Acts 16, we can see the event that Paul is mentioning here. We know the story, we're very familiar with the story about how Paul drew away a spirit from a woman, from a girl, and how the owner of the girl was very angry because she had power of divination through the devil. So what did the owner do? Well, he pointed a finger at Paul and rose a mob to rise against him. They captured Paul and Philippians and beat them, basically. Put them in front of the government, and the government beat them too. This is what Paul meant when he said he was shamefully treated at Philip. That's a very discouraged, at first glance, that's a very discouraging thing to hear, isn't it? Brother and sister, have you ever tried to share the gospel only to be shut down? I'm pretty sure that some of you could be very familiar to some of these phrases. For example, there goes Bill talking about God again. Or maybe like, oh, Lisa's talking about the Bible again, Lisa. Or something like, oh, Oscar, oh, God and the gospel. Okay, there you go. Okay, that's Oscar saying about the gospel. Okay, sure. Those are very words that sometimes we may hear when we try to preach the gospel. What about people who are closer to you? Maybe a coworker, maybe a childhood friend, family member, parents. How do you react when someone close to you responds in that way? By denying the gospel. That is very discouraging. And I think Paul, that's what he felt in Philip. He came with the gospel, preaching the gospel, and he was unjustly punished and beaten by the people, and eventually drawn away. But we read in verse number one that he said was not in vain. What is Paul saying about not being in vain? Paul is saying that for you yourself know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. It was not a waste. What is he talking about? What is not being a waste, or was it not in vain in here? So Paul is saying that coming to the Thessalonians was actually the opposite, was fruitful. And so there's a word of encouragement. What did he mean that it was all worth it? You see, brothers and sisters, when you're faced with discouragement, when you see that, when you have been trying to preach the gospel to someone for weeks, months, maybe even years, you're facing discouragement. But then Paul is saying here, it's not all lost. There's still something. Despite all the negative things that happened before, he said there's something fruitful to gain from. And that was with the Thessalonians. You see, Paul here is giving a word of encouragement to the Thessalonians. Despite hearing those words, I mean, think about it. What would you say if you were to hear that your pastor went to some other place to preach the gospel only to be shut down and then forcibly kicked away from the place? I think so, by myself, for me speaking, I would be discouraged if I were to hear my pastor being threatened like that or being kicked out or trying to see the gospel not being able to be preached in a place. But so Paul is saying it's not all in vain, it's not all in lust, because in you, Thessalonians, that you receive me with open arms, I find fruitfulness. Something came out. Something was made. So, in chapter 1, verse 9, Paul says, "For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we have among you, and how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God." Paul is encouraging and is encouraging the Thessalonians to continue. He's praising them, basically saying that, look, sure, in this place I was kicked out, but when I came to you, you guys opened your arms and received the gospel. And even your action is being seen by other places. This should be a word of encouragement. And so Paul tells them, "We have boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel." Can you imagine if Paul, after being drew away from Philip, was discouraged and he said to himself, "God, why is this happening? Maybe I shouldn't be preaching the gospel." You can start seeing if he were felt discouraged, if he haven't moved forward boldness to the Thessalonians, then he will have never gone to them and preached the gospel. And all these that we read, all these benefit, all these good fruit that come out from the Thessalonians would have never taken place. So brothers and sisters, when you feel discouraged, when you get pushed away by the world, instead of looking down and saying, "What am I going to do? Why is it not working?" Should be the other way around. So Paul say, with boldness, you should stand out and preach the gospel more bold, with more strength. You should be going forward. But now the big question is, why? Where do we get this confidence? Where do we get this trust? Why do we talk so boldly about the gospel? Well, Paul is very clear with the reason. And he said, "We have boldness in our God because we're doing the work of God. That's why we have encouragement, why we continue." Well, Paul went to Thessalonians and continued preaching the gospel and never gave up, never looked down into the work. Brothers and sisters, if you're faced with discouragement, if you're being pushed away, if you see not fruitfulness in your evangelizing or preaching, know that you're not to give up, but you should be encouraged and continue with instead more boldness preaching the gospel, because eventually you're going to be led by God, and just like Paul to the Thessalonians, you too will reach to that person that maybe is waiting, maybe only one person, we don't know, but there will be result, there will be a fruit to be reaped. You will share the gospel and someone will be saved. We should be bold in our work, not discouraged. So this brings us to my point number two. Point number two being sharing the gospel not to please men, but for the glory of God. From verse 3 to 7, we see a series of claims that Paul say about the gospel that he brought to the Thessalonians. And I want to divide it in two groups, basically, two sets. The first set is, we can find it in verse number 3. There's three words that I want us to put emphasis on: error, impurity, and deceitfulness. Error, impurity, and deceit. Looking at the dictionary in Google, I went and I looked for the meaning of the word error. And he gave me I grabbed the two most interesting ones that I just highlighted, and I found it very peculiar, very interesting. According to Google, the dictionary translated the word, defined the word error as an act, assertion, or belief that unintentionally deviates from what is correct right or true. Or the second one says, the condition of having incorrect or false knowledge. The word error, deceiving, and impurity, all three have something in common. And that is that it deceives the truth. If you ever had a pet, I think so you can relate to this next example. You need to give a pill to your pet because they're sick. And obviously, when you give that pill, they're going to spit it right away. They don't like it. So what do? Well, you grab the little pill, you shove it into a meat, a piece of delicious chunk of meat, and you give it to your dog, and they eat it happily. In that analogy, what do you do to your dog, basically? You deceive him. You lie to him. He didn't want the pill, but you needed to deceive him, hide him the truth in order to give it to him. You see, error, deceiving, and impurity all are hiding the truth to lead us to incorrectness. Something impure, for example, when you mix milk with water to sell cheaper and pure milk, you're hiding the truth that you put impurity into it. Error, leading or hiding the truth from someone, misleading someone, deceiving, lying to someone. So Paul is saying that he came to preach the gospel without this word. He was not here to deceive the people. He didn't come to shape lie. He didn't come to with error, hiding the truth. Quite the opposite. Paul came to the Thessalonians with the truth, with the gospel. That's what we're trying to do. We're not trying to deceive the people. We're not trying to show them something fake, something untruth. Undirecting them from the truth. Quite the opposite. We're trying to redirect them to the truth. So Paul is saying, this gospel that I brought to you, that he came to teach them, is not error, without impurity, without deceiving, without hiding, but the opposite, showing into the light the truth to them. The second set of words that I want us to see is in verse number 5, and is with the word flattery and pretext of greed. When do we use the word flattery? Or when do we use flattery? Well, maybe when we see a pretty lady. Or maybe when we want to talk to the teacher because we have that delay assignment. We want to talk flattery to our teacher, if you get what I mean. We use flattery to get our way, to win an argument, to be able to get what we want to. Paul is saying, I didn't come with flattery to lie to you because there was no need for it. When I was young in Nicaragua, my congregation got an opportunity to go to a mega church. I put in quotation because I know that Nicaragua's mega church is relatively small compared to the United States mega church. But for us, it was considered a mega church. And I remember that that was a whole different experience. I sat down and we were just seeing because we went to, I don't even remember why we got invited or how did we got to that position. But I remember very well the preaching of that pastor in that day because it was so impactful in my life. I remember that the pastor was looking at the congregation and he opened up his preaching like this. Have you ever wanted a car or a house or money? Well, brother and sister, let me tell you. One day I came and I wrote in a piece of paper, I want the Toyota 2015 model car. and I placed it on my fridge. And every morning I came and say, I want that truck, God. Give me that truck. And I tell you, brother and sister, you know what happened after a month? I have that truck right in front of my house. Glory to God. Wow. And I remember, I tell you, what a gospel he gave. Wow, that is beautiful. Now, that's full sarcasm. And if you didn't get it, that was horrible. That was a preaching that he was giving. That was not a preaching at all. There was no mention of the Bible. There was no mention of salvation. There was no mention of Christ. And the whole preaching was basically that you put a stick of paper on the fridge, you pray to God, and you get it. Some people will say, wow, that's the God that I want to. So beautiful. Where do I sign up? When do I become a Christian? How do I become a Christian? Start getting those things coming. Brother and sister, that's not what we're giving. We're not here to give flattery to the people. People want to hear what they want to. But Paul is saying, I didn't come to give to please men. I came here to give you the truth. You see, if this is really what people want to hear, then forget about the Bible. We can just move. There's many ways to be flattering about the gospel. Now, give me a chance, and I know it's going to be sounding weird, but in reality, on paper, and the suffer, the gospel sometimes may not seem very flattering. Let me explain to you. What is the gospel? Well, the gospel is that God, oh, by the way, who is this God? Never seen him before. Anyways, whatever. This God sent his son, which, by the way, I haven't seen his son either. I don't know who he is. And this son came from heaven, and he died on the cross. I don't know why he even died on the cross. Well, for our sin. For a sin. Well, I'm a free citizen right now. I haven't done anything wrong. Why someone random who I don't even know needed to die in a cross 2,000 years ago? I don't know why. What I want to say is that on paper, at first, the gospel doesn't sound very appealing. But brother and sister, if you dig, if you understand what is the gospel deeply, you can see the richness of the gospel. And that's why Paul said that the gospel doesn't need flattery. It doesn't need to cover on sugar and sweetness. Because the gospel himself, if you truly understand what it is as sweet as the sweetest honeys and the richest treasure you can ever find. It doesn't need to be buttered. It doesn't need to be sugar-coated with other things. And that's why Paul said, I didn't come to you with flattery. Because the gospel doesn't need it. If you understand what is the gospel, it doesn't need beautiful words and words that will make it desirable, because the gospel himself is life and is beautiful. And if we understand what did God do for us, the beauty of salvation, and what position we are, you don't need to use any complicated word to describe it, and simply the people will desire and will understand what did God, Jesus Christ, do for us in the cross. The gospel himself is already sweeter than honey. It doesn't need the use of words and flattery. So, where do all these 2 points lead us? Is in verse number 4. That's the main point of this section. Paul says, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please men, but to please God. That's the main point that Paul's bringing here. Brothers and sisters, when you preach the gospel, you don't need to deceive people to make them believe. When you preach the gospel, you don't need to use flattering and beautiful words to make people feel encouraged or wanting the gospel. You preach the truth to the people. You preach the gospel because the gospel itself is already the greatest and sweetest word that there ever be. And Paul say, I didn't come with any of those. Why? Because it's not to please men, but for the glory of God. If it was for pleasing men, sure, then by all means, use all the words just like that mega church pastor. And I tell you, the number of people joining churches are going to rack up. But that is not the truth. That is not the point. And so Paul is saying, don't feel discouraged. Don't use false words. Don't deceive the people. I came here with the truth. Brothers and sisters, are you preaching the word of God with the truth? My sheep, my people will hear, Jesus said. The people of God, when they hear, they will recognize and they will come. There is no need for us. Of course, now I'm not saying that we cannot practice, for example, how to improve our preaching or talking. In the seminary, there's a class for summer on how to be better at preaching or how to speak. I'm not saying that I'm not against that. We can improve. But it is not based, the gospel is not based or is not required on how do we preach the word, but rather why are we preaching. And so Paul here saying, I brought to you the truth. For the glory of Christ, for the glory of God. Not with flattering words, not with deceiving, but with the truth. And so, this brings us to point number three. Point number three, love the church with kindness and affection. We can see the last two verses, verse 7 and 8, how Paul described how he came to the church. Reading again, some words that highlight or come up to mind is, for example, with loving, affection, caring, because you are dear to us. You see, Paul is telling the Thessalonians, he's reminding them that at one point, they too were sinful. Again, going back, Thessalonians, the city of Thessalonians was a city well known because they were idol worshippers. But they repented and they changed. So Paul is telling them, at one point, you were sinful too, but you accepted us. You opened your arms and accepted the gospel. So when you preach the gospel, do it with love. Do it with compassion. How did Paul preach the gospel to the people of Thessalonians? Well, with gentleness among them, like a mother taking care of her own children. Brothers and sisters, love is still a very important point in our evangelical work. Remember what the scripture tells us? Hope, faith, and love. But of these three, love is the greatest one. Standing. 1 John chapter 4 talk all about love, how we should be loving our brothers. That if a person say he loves God but doesn't love his brother or neighbor, then he's lying. There's no true love. When we preach the gospel to the people, we need to do it with love and compassion, with careness. Yes, we need to come with boldness, but careful not to confuse boldness with harshness and beating unloving. It's a dangerous step. Sometimes we get too bold and we overstep ourselves and start pointing fingers and start saying things that are maybe not too nice. And so Paul is telling to a Thessalonian, he's encouraging them, reminding them, look, I came to you with love, with compassion. You too do the same. You too go to the people with love and compassion. And actually their attitude was being an example to the nations, to the other people. If you read chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, for not only have the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God have gone forward everywhere, so that we need not say anything. The life of the Thessalonians was already an example to the people. So for tonight, I want to ask you, are you preaching the gospel to your brothers and sisters with love and compassion? Putting all these three points together, I want to see a bigger picture of what's Paul telling to the church. And basically what's telling to you, what I want you to get from this passage. Brother and sister, when you hit a wall, when you feel discouraged because someone who you have been preaching or evangelizing for months, for weeks, for years doesn't work, don't feel discouraged. Be bold, just as Paul is telling to the Thessalonians. Why? Because you're doing the work of God. It's not for men, it's not for yourself, you're doing it for God. And if God with us, who against us? So don't feel discouraged. Continue forward, because you don't know when will you really hit the people of God and will listen. Again, if Paul have given up, he will have not gone to the Thessalonians. And he said, it was not in vain. Look how much he was able to reap from his work. Second point is reminding us, why are we preaching? We don't need to use eloquent words, very workative. We don't need to be very flattering to when we're preaching the gospel. What we need to do, simply two things. Preach the gospel truly what it is, playing forward for the glory of God. Not for men, but for God. We're not doing it so people can see us and say, wow, look at that preacher, how good he is. That is not the point. If that was the point, I could say many things. Pastors could say anything that people want to hear, and they will be praised. But that's not the point. So are you preaching the gospel truly as it is for pleasing men so you can feel happier or better? Or is it for God, for the glory of God, because he commands us from Matthew 28, the Great Commission. And lastly, do it with love. Don't forget, this is very important. We need to learn from Paul, a good example. Look how Paul said, with mothering, taking care of his own children. What greater love there is for the mother to look at the child. Because at the end, Paul said, because you have become very dear to us. I remember that the other week, someone was saying that one of the reasons why people were leaving from church is because they felt that no one really were interacting with them. And most people who stayed in the church was because there were at least five people who show interest and time with them. Brothers, are you putting your time and your love to those people? Are you doing the same as Paul, preaching with love and careness, being humble, being gentle, not too harsh, but with love? So, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your words of encouragement, because even when we fall, even when we are pushed by the world, we know that we're not alone. Lord, may we not be discouraged by the world, but instead be bolder for your word. May we preach the truth, not with eloquent words, with flattering and lies, but with the truth. That is what the people need. And truly, Lord, may we preach the gospel with love and compassion, with true affections to the people. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.